if your life depended on it, how long would you last if the key to lasting was knowing the Bible by heart, knowing it from memory? How many of us would make it very long? At the end of World War II, Allied forces were clearing out the remaining Nazi resistance, and one of the greatest places of Nazi resistance was in Berlin. Every soldier had to memorize a map that detailed all of Berlin's most important military sites. Every single one of them, and there were many military sites in that huge city of Berlin. They had only a few hours to do it. They must stay up all night, knowing they needed sleep. They must stay up all night until they learned that map of every single site, where it was, exactly the streets. They must know it in their mind. They could have nothing on them. They did it. Each soldier committed the map to memory, and that unit, that Allied unit, successfully discharged their mission. Many, many years later, not long ago, the Army conducted an experiment to see if that original feat was a one-time event or if it could be duplicated. They offered an Army unit in the U.S. an extra week's furlough, a vacation. And they said, you have a full week to do what that Allied unit did in one overnight. And then we'll test you. They spent an entire week trying to memorize those military sites, the streets. And in a week's time, they could not accomplish it. And so they studied what happened. And what they studied and what they came up with is that the lives of the men in the second unit were not at stake. Surviving death in battle was a greater motivation for memorization than a week's vacation. The greatest reason I sin and you sin, the greatest reason any of us sin is our failure to memorize the eternal Word of God. We lie to ourselves when we say that God's Word never requires Scripture memory, and I've heard many Christians say it. We say things like, I have a poor memory. I never really have time. I'm really busy. I'm too old. I tried before and I failed. Why bother? I have a brand new computer program. Pastor, I don't want to become spiritually proud. Bible verses are for children. It's just too much work. To tell you the truth, Pastor, I'm too lazy. Well, we're getting closer. But if any of those excuses are your excuses or mine, because you may say, well, you know Acts 2. You're going to memorize something you already know. No, I'm not. I don't know Acts 2. I know the flow of it. But I've never memorized Acts 2 before. And I want you to know, if those excuses are yours, the real reason we refuse to memorize God's holy word, his love letter, is that we choose to disobey the call of God's word that is clear. Our choice not to memorize the word pays awful wages. Because the scripture says, and it's true for born-again believers as well as carnal believers, as well as unbelievers, the wages of sin is death. There will be some sort of wage in our lives. We pay dearly by refusing to obey God. Dr. Howard Hendricks of Dallas Theological Seminary, he said, I'm not the president. I'm not telling the president what to do. But he's been there longer than the president. And he said, if it were my decision to make, Every person graduating from Dallas Theological Seminary with their master's would be required. I'm not going to share this with your team out there, Nathan. But this is what he said. It would be required that they memorized 1,000 verses of Scripture, word perfect, before they could get their Master of Divinity degree. It would be more important than all their other courses. Martin Luther, before discovering the just shall live by faith, he had a friend, Karlstadt, that was well known in that day, and he debated with Luther. But Karlstadt didn't even have a Bible of his own, much less he had never ever read it. And Martin Luther, as a Catholic priest, was memorizing countless verses in the Scripture. When he finally came to Romans 1:16 and 17, and he realized his eyes were opened by the Holy Spirit to the just shall live by faith. These are his words. He says, thereupon I ran through all the Scriptures I knew from memory to confirm what I had found. He went through the Scriptures he already knew to find it was true. William Wilberforce, the British statesman responsible, probably single-handedly more than anyone else, for the abolition of the slave trade in Great Britain, wrote in his diary in 1819, 202 years ago, I walk today from Hyde Park, joyfully repeating all 176 verses of the 119th Psalm. You wonder why God used him for the abolition of slavery in all the British Empire. He had memorized the word. The pioneer missionary, David Livingstone, who went to Africa and was used probably more than anyone else to open up all of Africa, won his own Bible at age 9, memorizing, reciting, word perfect, all 176 verses of Psalm 119. And I said in the first service, for those of you on the CE board, I would gladly give a new Bible of any translation. I would gladly have it done by the CE board, or I'd pay myself anyone in our church that will memorize Psalm 119, word perfect. What Bible do you want? We'll see to it that you get it. Dr. Adrian Rogers spoke of Scripture memory very powerfully. I want to read you just a few sentences of this great man. He said, and I quote, one of the greatest weapons against pornography is hiding God's word in your heart. The Scripture says, I've stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. He said, the task is only one, memorization of the word. That's the way to have a pure mind. He said, when you memorize the word, Scripture is the mind of God. Scripture is the word of God. When you have Scripture in your heart and mind, you're thinking God's thoughts after him. Then these words, these are really powerful words. He says, casual reading of the Bible is like a bee flitting over the surface of a flower. He said, memorization is like a bee going down deep into the heart of the flower and gathering nectar. Meditation on the word is like the bee taking that memorized nectar back to the hive and making honey out of it. And these are his final words I want to quote. He says, we need to gather the word of God so we can meditate on it. God gave us a memory. Scripture memory helps you to remember what you ought to remember and to forget what you ought to forget. Today we're going to focus on Psalm 119, verse 11. I've hidden your word in my heart. I've stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Why is Scripture memory not only helpful, but why is Scripture memory indispensable, necessary, and mission critical to living for Jesus in 2021? I want to give you 5 reasons. They're very, very simple. But if they stay with you, It could change your family. It could change you. It could change our church. It could possibly change our state. It could possibly change our nation and our world. It could start here. The first reason to memorize Scripture is Scripture memory is God's command. Scripture memory is God's command. Hiding God's word in our hearts is essential because God talks in words. He commands us to hide his word in our hearts. Psalm 119:11 was the psalmist's habit, practice in his very life, to take the words of God and obey God's command to memorize and store and treasure and hide the word of God in his heart. Well, you may ask, is it really God's command to hide his word in our hearts? It is. When you make the discovery that God's people made during the Exodus, it will change your life. I want you to know the first time God ever spoke to a group of people, like a congregation of people, he spoke to millions at Mount Sinai. Been studying some of this with you, Nathan, in the class you teach down here. What a great job you're doing. But Deuteronomy 5:24, we read that the people said, "This day we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. This day we have seen God speak with man, and man still live." God speaks and we still live when we hear his voice. And then in the next chapter in Deuteronomy 6:4-9, we read what is called the Great Shema. It's the age-old prayer that God gave to his people, and it's not just to the Hebrew people, it's to all of us. He gave it to all of us. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And so today I give you this great Shema. Hear, O Israel, and I want you to listen for the word command. I want you to listen for the word shall in a commanding voice from God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Jerrica, thank you for all the places in our church where we see the verses of the Lord written on our walls, right here in our church. Scripture memory is God's command to hide and store and treasure his words and his word in our hearts. God said the closest thing to the word memory in Deuteronomy 11:18. It's almost a picture of a squirrel gathering nuts and bringing them to the tree and putting them in his stash. He says, "You shall therefore lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul." Deuteronomy 11:18. So I want to say, first of all, Scripture memory is God's command. Second of all, Scripture memory is our very life. Hiding God's word in our hearts is indispensable. We can exist without God's word. You can be a born-again Christian without memorizing Scripture, but you can't really live and thrive without the word. Psalm 119:11 has the psalmist stating it as an accomplished fact. He's done it. He says, "I have hidden your word. I have stored up your word in my heart." It's not only a command to be obeyed, it was an accomplished essential of the psalmist's life. Now, I want you to know some of you are here on Wednesday nights, and we have a theme verse that we have at the top of every lesson. It's Deuteronomy 8:3. But I want you to hear it one more time and think of it. Scripture memory is our very life. And he humbled you, Moses says, and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you didn't know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone. And what you're going to have when you get home from this message. We don't only live by our Sunday dinner. Man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds or comes from the mouth of the Lord. We must memorize the Word of God, because these living words of God that we hide in our hearts, minds, and souls help us at every turn in life to know God's will for our lives. Perhaps already you're questioning the authenticity of what I'm saying. And you're saying, well, I heard that, but I mean, goodness. Are you sure? Maybe you're questioning, has God really said this? Has he placed this message on your heart? Should it be on my heart? And I want you to recognize the source of your questioning, because all of us have listened to this voice. It was first heard in the Garden of Eden when Satan came to Adam and Eve in Genesis 3:1, and he said, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? Did God actually say? Satan is the one that plants the doubts in our hearts. Speaking of his gospel, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:13, and we impart this in truths, or in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual, because the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit because they're only spiritually discerned. Now I want to give you the verse that proves it's your very life. It's Deuteronomy 32:47. You might want to put it on your refrigerator or on your bathroom mirror. You might want to put it in your pocket. You might want to put it in your office. Here it is. Take to heart all the words by which I'm warning you today, that you may command them to your children, that they may be careful to do all the words of this law. For it is no empty word for you, but indeed it is your very life. I'll say it again. Moses says, it is your very life, and by this word you shall live long. You want to live long? Hide God's word in your heart. You say, well, I thought that was about something else in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. It's true there too. There's another way to live long. In the Ten Commandments, God says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Unless we as families get back to hiding God's word methodically in our hearts, in our marriages, in our families, our very lifespans are in jeopardy. And I want you to know, our nation at this very moment, the life and the continuation of this nation is in jeopardy. All nations that forget God, the psalmist says, will be cast into hell. And I'm telling you, when we forget God, it's the most dangerous thing we could ever do. So why do we memorize Scripture? It's God's command. Second of all, it is our very life. Number three. Scripture memory is storing God's word in our hearts. The Hebrew word for hiding or storing or stashing God's word in our hearts is the Hebrew word saphan, T-S-A-P-H-A-N. It means to stash away. It means to treasure up in a secure, covered over, secret place which cannot be robbed. They can take everything from you and me. They can take our life. They can take our homes, they can take our land. Anything could happen to us. When you hear about the way other countries that are living in the underground church live, so much can be taken away. Never can God's word be taken out of our hearts. It cannot be robbed. Today is the best day in your life to begin the adventure of eating God's word. Spiritually, through scripture memory. Jeremiah says, it's eating. That's what the Lord said. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 15, 16, your words were found and I ate them. And your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. And Job lost the greatest thing Job lost. And this is not against his 10 children that he lost, but he lost his leadership in the family with a wife that turned on him. And what did she even say to her husband when he had boils all over him? And they had lost so much together, rather than saying, I'll trust God with you, sweetheart. She said, curse God and die. But what did Job say? In Job 22:12, he said, I have not departed from your commandments. I have not departed from the commandments of God's lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary portion of food. What's he saying? We usually in America have 3 meals a day. A lot of parts of the world only have 1 meal a day. But more than that, 1, 2, or 3 meals a day, or even the snacks in between, I have treasured your word. I've treasured your word. I want you to know you will never regret launching out into the deep in this great adventure that's ahead for you. The words that we memorize are our private library. If you're an investor, and some of you are, you have stocks, I challenge you to invest in a stock that will never decline, has never declined, and it will keep on paying dividends for all eternity. Memorize your own private library of the Word of God. When you memorize the Word of God, it is there for you when you need it. Storing away the Word of God is a teachable and a learnable skill. Now you may say, I have a bad memory. How many of you know your social security number? How many of you know your phone number? How many of you know the birthdays of people in your home? How many of you say you can't memorize, but you prove the folly of that by such things as quoting songs from the 60s? Or you rattle off statistics from your favorite baseball, football, or basketball players? Memory is a method, but memory is also a muscle that increases in power. It is strengthened by using. It's a scientific fact, and I looked at it this week. Memorizing scripture will cause your brain to have a stronger memory in other areas. Scientists say, use it before you lose it. Scripture memory is doing due diligence to help to do our part to keep our brain fit and working well. But we'll never know whether we can store up God's word in our hearts until we put down the remote control. Really, that's it. That'll be the hardest thing for any of us to do, is to put down the remote control and pick up God's word. If you're teaching Sunday school, if you're witnessing, if you're pondering a decision, what happens if you have stored up God's word in your heart? It is faster than going to Google. I'm telling you, it's faster than Google. God brings a verse to our mind by his Spirit. He can go into that area where robbers cannot ever go, where thieves cannot brew, they cannot break through and steal, where moth and rust cannot decay. He can come into that area and he can access and prompt our memory previously stored and stashed away in our heart. God will not prompt you with things that you've never memorized, things you've never stored in your heart. You must stash it away. What God the Holy Spirit brings to our minds is not a miracle then, but a prompting of our memory. He's prompting, and all of a sudden, I memorized that 40 years ago, 50, 60 years ago. I memorized that, and boom, it's there. just when you need it. And I want you to know thousands of times, as a father, as a husband, as a grandpa, a superintendent, a neighbor, a friend, a brother, a child of God in great need, God has been there for me, and he has enabled me to memorize thousands of verses, and he pulls them out of nowhere. No, he pulls them out of this stash that sits somewhere inside of me because I've hidden his word in my heart, and there they are for use for his glory. In the timing of the Lord and in the prevenient grace of God, that grace that goes before, God is right now preparing you and me for hard times ahead. He's preparing in his prevenient grace. He says, when you're brought before kings and rulers, don't think about what you're having to say, because in that hour, I'll give you the words. Where are they going to come from? The stash. That place where you've hidden his word in your heart. Oh, beloved. I find God is already way up the road ahead of me and ahead of you, providing in scripture memory solutions we will need for today and for tomorrow and all of our tomorrows until he comes or he takes us home. Why do we memorize scripture? It's God's command. It is our very life. It is storing God's word in our hearts. Number four, scripture memory is the discipline of following Jesus' example. I want to tell you that this past week, early in the week, I felt like the Lord was telling me, talk about Philippians 4:8 on Wednesday night, and talk about scripture memory on Sunday. And I have to sadly say to you, I debated with him about that for about an hour. I said, Lord, I'd rather preach on Sunday morning about Philippians 4:8. He didn't give me any peace about that. Because I knew if there's anything all of you could agree with me before I tell you about the fourth point, it's that this is a hard message to preach or to listen to. Because there's a stronghold in America, there's a stronghold around the world, there's something against this fourth point, and that is that scripture memory is a discipline. It's the discipline of following Jesus' example. It is a discipline. Psalm 119:11 is clearly a discipline of the psalmist. I have stored up your word. I've treasured it. I've hidden it in my heart. Maybe you're even willing to admit, scripture memory is God's command. Okay, it's my very life, and it requires I store it up in my heart. And yet you may be saying, like we all can say, yet, preacher, I'm not convinced. It is not my job to convince you. I've never convinced anyone of anything. If someone can talk you into it, someone else can talk you out of it. The only convincer is the Holy Spirit. The person convinced against their will is of the same opinion still. You can lead a horse to the water, but what? You can't make him drink. So what holds you back? Is it just lazy habits we have? Are we too busy? Is it a preoccupation with sports? I have to tell you, folks, as honest as I can be, I love sports. And if I did what I like to do, I would spend most of my life watching or playing sports. That's how much I love it. And you may be saying, don't talk to me about scripture memory during the football playoffs. That's crazy. What will it take to light a fire under each one of us to hide God's word in our hearts? Ray Pritchard, a pastor, used this illustration, and I'm going to use it. I'm not the first to use it. But he said to his elders, what if we come in here next week with a 50-gallon drum filled, packed tight with $100 bills. And we put it up in front and we let people test it. If you can come and cite one verse of scripture, word perfect, from your translation, whatever it is, $100. And for everyone, you've got a week to do it. You've got a week from now till next Sunday. Everyone that you come and recite perfectly, $100. I listened to it, and it really sounded sweet. Now the kids upstairs, they get some sweets. But I think there are people right now that are struggling for money that still wouldn't do it. I believe tens of thousands of people would resist because it's just hard. There's something about a stronghold the enemy has against it. I can't do that. I'm not going to do that. And so I know. That's why I asked you to pray as I preach today, that God would open our minds to his love letter and what he's asking us to do. One of my greatest incentives to memorize this year is not that I think Acts chapter 2 will be easy, or that Psalm 119, or if you take any of the grades, you can even take the 3 verses a week and do it. That's fine, whatever you do. But my greatest incentive is the example of Jesus. I promise you, my desire is to be like Jesus. He was here 30 years before he began his public ministry. And one thing I know he did besides do carpentry work, like his stepdad, he had to have memorized scripture. Because he was a man. He got colds and flus and viruses and he got tired. We know he slept on the boat. We know that. We know that he wept at the grave. But Jesus had memorized scripture. And my desire is to be like Jesus. Is it your desire to be like Jesus? Jesus used scripture in his personal life. And he used that when he was tempted. He used scripture in his public ministry. And he used scripture even as he was crucified and died. For you and me. You remember right after he was baptized, he was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil for 40 days. And the devil came and the Lord fought him with only one thing, scripture, scripture, scripture. He knew it. The first thing he said is, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Deuteronomy 8:3. The second way he came back is, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Deuteronomy 6:16. And thirdly, Deuteronomy 6:13, he said, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. He used scripture memory in his public ministry. When they came and they said, Rabbi, what's the greatest commandment? In Matthew 22:37, he quoted Deuteronomy 6:5. He quoted part of the great Shema. He said, you shall love. This is in the New Testament, quoting the great Shema. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. And the second one is also part of it, and that is you shall love your what? Neighbor as yourself. When he said, Abraham saw my day. Abraham, how can that be? And what did he quote? In Exodus 3:6. In Matthew 22:32, he said, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He is not God of the dead, but of the living. And probably no thing that Jesus spoke in his whole life and ministry is more critical to 2021. Was what he said, quoting from Genesis 2:24, Matthew 19:4 and 5. What's happening in America? We hear, and the trend, it's been coming now through the years, this whole gender thing. Has anybody noticed it? People want gender-free speech. Take away the he's and the she's. But I am not blind, and I hope none of you are blind. But I hope you're not blind to the Word of God. What did Jesus say when Hillel, one of the Jewish rabbis, was liberal about divorce, and he was telling people a man could come home He could come home from work and his wife could have burned the beans. And all he had to say was three times, I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you. And that was it. It was that easy to get a divorce. And they said, what do you say? He says, it was not so from the beginning. He said, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning, Matthew 19:4-5, he's quoting Genesis 2:24, he who created them from the beginning made them male and female and said, therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave and hold fast to his wife and the two shall become one flesh. Oh, how we need the word of God today. As he was dying, he quoted scripture. The sky grew black, and for 3 hours it was black. And he cried out, what the words of David, that David had cried out in Psalm 22:1. But the son, the greater son of David cried out, that Satan crusher you were talking about, Nathan, my God, why have you forsaken me? And as he died, he quoted David's psalm in Psalm 31:5 saying, Father, into your hand I commit or commend my spirit. Why do we memorize scripture? Because it's God's command. It's our very life. It's storing God's word in our hearts so the Holy Spirit can access it at the moment we need it and every day coming in the future. It's a discipline of following Jesus' example. Last of all, probably what I need the most, and so do you. Scripture memory is God's plan to save us from sinning. Psalm 119:11 says, I have stored up, I have treasured, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. This is why this command is our very life. Look back on the last 5 years of your life. Just look back on it. Any of you tripped up and sinned a time or two? The last 5 years? I have. I'm sure you have. Have we been memorizing the word? But there's another stronghold besides this whole idea of scripture memory. In America, we are in a democracy. What? I don't care what anyone else says, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. Anybody ever felt that way? You can say whatever you want, but I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And so we actually argue with God. We have strongholds of justifying our opinion. I'm not going to obey you, Lord. I'm not going to follow your promptings. I hear things like this. I know God commands me to forgive, but you don't know what they did to me. So I guess my word is the last word. No, his word is. I know the Bible says to be faithful in marriage. I heard that this week in counseling. I know God says to be faithful in marriage, but my circumstances are unique. They're intolerable. They're different. I know God wants me to spend time with him in the morning, but I'm not a morning person. And on it goes, and we argue with God. We justify our opinions. Our excuses don't save us from sinning. Rather, our excuses pave the way to our sin. The road to sin is paved with good intentions of planning to hide his word in our hearts when we get more time. This Friday, in one of my devotions, I read at 5-something in the morning. It was from the upper room. The lady's name is Janine Brenner from Pennsylvania. She's been working most of the time in 2020 from home. She's a church worker. And she does a lot of work at home, but she says this has been going on for years and years in her life. I don't know if any of you have had this experience. But she's busy at home, and her husband often comes and says things to her like, sweetheart, break away for just a moment. Come and see this sunrise. Sweetheart, come and see this. This is the most beautiful sunset. Or, sweetheart, It's the last minute of this game. It's tied up. They're in overtime. Come watch this with me. And she says, she invariably has said to Carl, let me finish typing this page. I'll be there as soon as I make this quick phone call. But the page becomes three pages, and the quick call lasts an hour. She never made her husband a priority. The sunrises and the sunsets and the ball games came and went. And when she finally joined them, the sunset was gone and the sunrise was over and the ball game was done. And then suddenly it was all over. This year, Carl had a fatal stroke. He had the stroke and died instantly. And she says, now, I want to hear his voice saying, come and see the sunrise. Come and see the sunset. Come watch. Come watch the last minute of this game. But it's all over. Someday we're going to see the Lord. What will we say? I intended to fall in love with you. I intended to fall in love with your word. I intended to memorize your love letter, at least parts of it. But when I finally tried to start, it was too late. You may say, well, you've given us David Livingston, William Wilberforce, Howard Hendricks, Adrian Rogers. Give me somebody up to date, and so I will in closing. I don't know if anybody here happens to know Orlando Magic's co-founder, basketball Hall of Famer, sports legend Pat Williams. Anybody ever heard of him? He announced his retirement in 2019 from the team after a career spanning over 56 years. 30 years he was with the Magic and 51 years in the NBA. Pat Williams, the general manager of the Orlando Magic, is a busy man. He still is. He's under great pressure. But he has a discipline that I preached about in the fourth point. He spends 20 minutes a day in uninterrupted Bible study, and he spends whatever time is necessary, and has done this for many years, to memorize one Bible verse every day. That's 365 Bible verses, or 366 on leap year, a year. He's memorized a verse every day for many years. And he testifies, this is the single most important factor in my life and in my spiritual growth in Christ. As I come to the close of this message, scripture memory is the deepest well of information we could ever know. It makes meditation possible when we're driving and we can't read the Bible. Scripture memory strengthens our faith. It makes the Bible portable when we can't put it in our wallet or purse. And if we go to prison, we may not be given a Bible. Our only Bible will be here. Didn't mean to make that point that strongly. Reciting scripture in the middle of the night is how I go back to sleep and how I put my wife back to sleep when she says, sweetheart, sing to me, or quote scripture. How often we've done it as a couple, I could never tell you. But we go back to sleep. Scripture memory shapes the way we view our sinful world. Scripture memory provides the strongest and sweetest words when we minister to others. Scripture memory renews our mind, Romans 12:2. I just preached on it last week. Scripture memory purifies our hearts, Psalm 119:9. Scripture memory helps us to learn to know God better, Psalm 119:10. Scripture memory provides us with guidance when we need to know God's will, Ephesians 5:17. Scripture memory helps us to better worship God, John 4:24. Scripture memory helps our prayer life, John 15:7. Scripture memory transforms our Bible study, 2 Timothy 2:15. Scripture memory protects us from false doctrine, Ephesians 4:14. But now as I close, This is only for those of you who sin. Well, Carm, I heard your laugh. You're one of them along with me. It's only for those who sin. Scripture memory will keep us from sin. It will keep us from succumbing to temptation. It'll be our way of escape that we'll be able to overcome sin. 1 Corinthians 10:13. I charge you, I challenge you, and I plead with you. Hide God's word in your hearts in 2021. In Jesus' name, I charge you.